If you have indoor plumbing, the program you're about to hear is for you. If you don't have indoor plumbing, well, that's another program. Welcome to Chris Fabry Live. Today, a Toxic Talk Tuesday with my toxic life coach, the one, the only Andrea Fabry. This is a special edition of the program because for the first time ever, I get to refer to her as an author. She's a blogger, and that's, you know, you write stuff as a blogger, but for the first time ever, I can say she is an author. You'll hear more about that, and we'll take your questions, comments, suggestions, opinions, and stories at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. You'll find all of the information you need at chrisfabrylive.org, depending on how much information you need, of course. Nate McMillan is our producer, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical, Frodo Washburn assisting, answering your calls, and our consulting producer, Tricia McMillan. Congratulations to the Wildcats of Villanova. And both Cubs and White Sox won yesterday in honor of Ryan McConaughey's birthday. Can you believe that? I mentioned it on the air, and both the White Sox and the Cubs win. Now here she is, voted most likely to weed the old-fashioned way, certified in building biology, wife of one, mother of nine, author of the sure-to-be New York Times bestseller, Is Your House Making You Sick?, and the upcoming sequel, Is Someone in Your House Making You Sick?, and Are You Sick of Someone in Your House?, the one, the only, Andrew Fabry.
I don't know whether to respond to the weeding or that third title, because I do like it. Is Someone in Your House Making You Sick? I think that would be a good... No, Are You Sick of Someone in Your House? That's the one I like.
Are you sick of somebody in your house? Oh, she is. I know she is.
No.
How you doing, Andrea? How you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you.
Great to see you.
Yeah,
great to have you back.
I did do a lot of weeding over the weekend. So did you.
I did.
The old
I did
fashioned
speed
way.
Weeding.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You just go real fast, and you pick as many as... you know, but that's true, since we don't use a lot of the chemicals that most people do, they got to just spray, we get more exercise. We're better people, aren't we, Andrea?
I was going to say that made it sound
so
a little
better.
Severe.
We're so much better than you, sprayers. That's where we like to be. We like to make ourselves feel better. It's kind of like looking at Facebook, you know, and at all your parties that you're having and everything. I look at myself weeding the old-fashioned way, and it just brings my self-esteem way up.
Well, I'm glad. That's important.
Andrea, let me start with this. You have been talking about toxic mold for years, but you said you came into this very broadcast studio that we have here, the International Broadcast Center, and you said, you know what, this is not – I don't want to turn people off thinking they have to listen to another hour of you talking about mold.
Yes, and it was a revelation this morning. Is how boring – no, it's not boring if you've – if you're concerned about this issue, we could talk for hours. I agree. But for the casual listener, as I know we have many, that just sounds, you know, well, that doesn't apply to me.
And I don't have any casual listeners, but I have to say, thank you, Ryan. But I had to break in here to defend you, my friend. She's calling you a casual listener.
Sorry.
There's nothing casual about this program.
True.
I get dressed up every day.
Smart and intelligent listeners, but may not feel that this applies to them. Is that better? More
now
tactful?
That I can hear, because you say, you know, I tune out. I don't need to listen to this today. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I need to listen to, right? I don't need to listen to this today because mold doesn't affect me. In fact, I don't think it affects anybody. It's everywhere.
But we all live in a shelter, and 99.9% of people do have some sort of water flow inside. Pipes to some degree. We live in an environment where there's rain, so that's why this is a very uniting topic. Mm-hmm. I think because we all have some sort of possible water intrusion in some way, shape, or form.
But not even water intrusion, Andrea. Let's just make this a lot bigger than this, because and this is another one of the things you said to me at the International Broadcast Center earlier today. You said, you know, you back up from even the water thing and you just ask the question, is what I'm around every day, is my health being affected by the environment that I work in, I live in at my house, or I go to church in, or school, or whatever, the car? Is there any connection between this and the way that I'm feeling today, good or bad, and where I'm breathing air?
And that, again, is a way of thinking. And that ultimately is my passion in everything that I do, is simply to create awareness about the connection between any indoor environment or outdoor environment and your health. In fact, today is, did you know, and I didn't tell you this earlier at the International Broadcast Studio, that it is National Healthy Schools Day.
It
Tuesday, is. Tuesday, April 5th, where, you know, there's a lot of educating happening, education going on about this connection between the lighting in a classroom, the type of ventilation that's in a classroom, possible mold growth in a classroom, the chemicals used in a classroom.
You've
There's
talked
even
with
a-
enough people, Andrea, and even teachers. You can hit the doorbell if you want, Ryan, because I did.
Yeah, this doorbell goes off anytime one of
so
us
excited.
Interrupts another.
I'm so excited to be talking with the New York Times bestselling author, future. But you've talked and you've even listed people who have been teachers in schools who have been sick for years and have finally put this together.
Yes. So it's that connection, the connection between my environment and the way I feel and my health issues. So today we are going to talk a little bit more about the home environment or the issue of mold growth or water damaged buildings. So not necessarily just home, but we're going to kind of hone in on that, I assume. Although unless callers want to talk about something else, they're free to call.
Or if I want to go to a different direction.
Or you as the host.
We can talk about Villanova, you know? What a thrilling conclusion. Okay, so you've written this, and people have asked for years, when are you guys going to put this in a book? When are you guys going to tell this story? And for years we've held back because there's just the story changes every month, you know? And you just decided, you know what, you've talked to so many people, you've blogged about this for a long time, you're just going to put this in a resource. It's a bound copy now. It's going to come out as an ebook. It's titled, Is Your House Making You Sick? And that comes from something, a question you were asked that basically changed your life.
Yeah, so this is an overview. It's not as much our story as it is simple guidelines, a place to begin because it's so daunting and overwhelming. Because there's not a lot of, you know, mainstream information on this. So where do I start? So that's my passion with this particular book. There is a timeline of our story that takes up a couple of pages. But the question that a friend asked me when we were in the middle of this in 2008, she was sweeping my floor and my kids were in emergency rooms and surgeries and my health was declining. It was a very, very tough year. And she said, have you thought about your house maybe making you sick? First time I've ever heard that, thought of it, entertained the thought, and immediately I dismissed it.
What did you say to her? What was your answer?
I was polite, and she said, well, my brother is in the field of sick buildings, and that's what made me think of you. And I said, oh, okay. I was polite, but in my heart, it immediately put a lot of fear in me, and I'm not so sure why, except, well, just entertaining that idea. Is it the house? And then I traced it back to our mold remediation about 8 months earlier, and I started to think about everything escalating. I still put it on the back burner. I didn't want to think about it. But when we came to title this book, I didn't necessarily think of that conversation until well after we had the title decided. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that was the question that changed my mind. And that's really all I want to do is help people ask questions. The answer may be no, the house is totally fine. If that's the answer, great. It's just even asking it.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, we talk about this is bigger than just the water intrusion. You back up from this and you think environment. This is bigger even than that because it can take you back into spiritually or psychologically, or you're thinking about your life. And it's like, why am I really struggling at this point in my life? What is it that's going on? If you start asking those questions, it's probably not going to lead you to water intrusion, but it will lead you to a good place to seek truth about where you are in life. Does that make sense?
It does. And toxic relationships. I know you've talked with Jan Silvius is so good on that. So many others offer such great counsel on the issue of toxic relationships. So is this relationship a healthy one? How can I make it healthier? Because these stressors on our immune system do affect our health.
All right. So we're going to take a break. If you have a question or a comment about this subject, and it can be water intrusion or mold, yeah, or anything that we've discussed. What about when you think it's your environment and your spouse doesn't? Your spouse says, no, let's not even go there. Or somebody, you get pushback from your family. I want to talk with you about that. I was on an airplane recently. I don't know that I've said this on the air. I may have. But I was on an airplane, and the lady sat down beside me, and she's from Canada, and she'd been visiting a family in Arizona, and we got to talking, and she talked about her two kids, and she said, yeah, they're sick all the time. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, it's a respiratory thing, and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, how long have you lived in the house that you've lived in? You know, I just started asking her these questions. Little did she know who was sitting next to her, you know. And I said, boy, everything that you're saying to me points to maybe there's something going on with the house, because they lived in an older house. They had torn it, you know, apart inside and gone back. And she said, I'm sure of it, but we've put so much money into that house but my husband won't even think about it. Mm. And I heard that and I said, you know what? I know exactly where you are, because where you are is where my wife was, and where I am is where your husband is. Because I felt the same way. I don't want to think about that. It's going to be too hard to think about it. So if you want more information, chrisfabrylive.org. Your calls, questions, comments today on Chris Fabry Live.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-LIVE-675.
Why is there so much hype about our environment, toxic mold? Have you ever experienced that, a mold exposure, and you don't know what your next step is? Are people telling you, it's everywhere, it's no big deal. What are you afraid of? Or maybe you've said, I just feel like there's something going on indoor here, and I don't know what it is. And then you start to go, you know, overboard. How do you keep from going overboard and seeing asbestos everywhere or mold everywhere? Andrea Fabry is here, former journalist, certified building biology practitioner, mother of nine and husband of one, as far as I know.
Oh, wow. I'm wife of one.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're husband of one, as far as...
Mother of nine and wife of one.
Thank you.
Please mark an edit there. And your calls, 877-548-3675. You get to dictate today our direction. Curtis, we begin in Worcester, Ohio. Hey, Curtis, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, we moved into a house approximately a year and a half ago, and I did find some mold in our garage, which is part of the house. The house is above the garage, and I cleaned it up as best I could with bleach and water, and I sprayed it with primer paint. But I'm not sure if there's other areas in the house that might, you know, have something, and we've not really felt the greatest since we've moved in the house. And how do you know what the symptoms are?
Well, there's a lot of questions you've raised, and they're all very good ones, Curtis. First, let me say that is a myth about bleach. Unfortunately, it doesn't kill mold. Now, it will change the color of it, but when we paint over it, it can still grow back. And that's a long scientific explanation. But as the number one myth about mold growth, and that is that we just put bleach over it. But that's what everybody thinks, and that's what you did, and it was in the garage. So that may or may not be something that, you know, is important to look at. Just knowing and just hearing you say, we just haven't felt as well in this house, makes this a worthy track to go down. You're smart, and that is very wise. This is where it gets so overwhelming, right? I don't know where to start. Well, the first step is an intuitive one, which you've just taken by saying, yeah, we saw mold in the garage. We moved in. We've been there about a year and a half. We're all not feeling so great. So there's an intuitive step that you've taken. Perfect first step. That tells you to go on. The next step, usually, will be to test this environment somehow. This gets complicated. There are advantages to all sorts of tests. So there is no one test that will give you a full picture of your house, and that's hard. I mean, we're talking about a lot of space and a lot of wall space and a lot of room for things to be hiding, and there's no one way to find out exactly what's there. I recommend, and I work with a leading toxicologist in this field, and he recommends a dust sample as opposed to an air sample. A hygienist that you will call typically will do an air sample and compare the outdoor air with the indoor air, which makes sense. If you have elevated mold growth in the home, it's going to show up in this comparison between the outdoor air and the indoor air. So that's a very valid test. I don't recommend those mold plates found in hardware stores. You can see fungus grow on those. You may see that there's a mold problem, but it won't tell you anything about types of mold, the source. It's just so limited in what it tells you. So if I were to test, you could go the way of an air sample, or you can go the way of a dust sample. And a dust sample is something that you can do it yourself, and you can see more about that on momsaware.org as well as this.
And what happens with a dust sample is, again, the drawback of it is you don't exactly know where if there is a problem, you don't know where it is, because you're getting dust from everywhere. You're getting it from behind the refrigerator, and it tells you the history of what's gone on in the house. So you don't know exactly pinpointed, you know, where the problem is, but you do know what's there. You do know what you're breathing, right, Andrea?
Yes, and some of these types of mold, particularly Stachybotrys and Ceitomium, don't easily go airborne. They're very sticky molds that grow on drywall behind walls. So we can't, that won't show up in an air sample sometimes, many times. It's possible for it to. But again, this is a step-by-step process. So if I were you and I had already taken that first step, which you did, I might test the environment. You can also, there's ways to peek behind walls using thermal imaging technology. There's an app for a phone. There's mini cameras. Home inspectors sometimes have these thermal imaging cameras. I really like that because you're not breaking open a wall to see if there's mold. That's the second myth, is to break it open and just get rid of it. That can stir it up and make health conditions much worse. And, of course, our story is proof of that. That's exactly what happened to us. So I say that. That's why I'm so passionate about this.
Yeah.
I really want to see other people avoid that mistake, because that really took us to the next level with health. This stuff is strong, powerful toxins, and they can get into the air system and really, really wreak havoc.
And there's a difference in people's DNA and how they respond to this. Let me ask you this, Curtis. Have you and your family gone away for a week at all, you know, gotten out of the house to go on vacation or whatever, and had any different feeling? You know, you felt better when you were away from the house?
No, we haven't taken a vacation yet.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's another test. I'm glad you raised that, because that's another test. Let's see how we do away. Sometimes if the issues are severe enough, it's not long enough to actually feel better. But sometimes, in fact, I have heard many stories of people, you know, when we went away to my parents for that week, mm-hmm. I felt so much better. We came back, I didn't feel as well. There's another intuitive test. They all have value. All these types of tests, quote unquote, have value. What I do want to emphasize with you, Curtis, is you're on the right track. I would want to know,
okay,
too.
Do you feel okay overwhelmed now? Do you feel like, oh, I want to go hide in a corner?
Yeah, I'm not very technically, you know. And how do you find someone who comes in that would test it, and what would that cost?
I know the money, and now that. The do-it-yourself dust sample is called an ERMI, and is fairly affordable. It's available through Moms Aware. Not that we sell it. We're the intermediary with a lab who does, and just try to make this available. We try to make this as easy as possible. There's no way this is easy, though, because what I hear from you, it's very grounded. This is overwhelming.
Yes.
But
yes.
What choice do you have? Do you just pretend it's not happening, or do you take it to the next step? As best as much as you can, take it one step at a time. Don't jump ahead to, does this mean we have to leave everything and go bankrupt? Don't jump that far ahead. Some of these issues, when it's localized, it's fixable. And when you get someone to come in and fix this, if that's what you decide to do, there are things to look for in a company, in a remediation company, to know, do they know what they're doing? But the one of the biggest things you're looking for is, do they contain it? Do they wear hazmat suits? By containing, I mean put barriers, cover up the vents. You don't want to spread this any more around the house than it may have already spread. So you don't want to make a problem worse with a remediation. So there are a lot of things to think about, but I do want to encourage you. Good for you for thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is overwhelming. I'm, you know, not able to write stuff down, so maybe I will email you and you
please
can
send
me information.
You got it. Curtis, hang on. Nate will get your information, or he can give you Andrea's email address. Boy, and that's, you can hear it in his voice. He's struggling with all of the information that you just threw out there. And what he wanted to hear from you is, don't worry. If it's in the garage, don't worry about it. Or, yeah, your family's, they're probably just, you know, something else that's going on. I mean, that's what I wanted to hear. It's something else.
I did too. Absolutely. Just tell me this is an easy fix. That's what I want to hear. And it's just a hard field to be in to try and help people, but I know what I know what I know. It's better to know than not know.
Yes.
So I know that's sobering, but this is life. This is the earth we're on, and our dwellings are so complicated now compared to many, many years ago when they were much simpler and built of earthen materials. Simply the fact we're using drywall to build our homes is an immediate red flag, because that's food for mold growth. Water and drywall, that's cellulose, that's food for mold to grow. And I'm not making this say, well, we just can't live in any of these modern homes. We just have to understand this is our reality now with our buildings. Better to pay attention to it than ignore it.
Yeah. What we just heard as you were talking with Curtis, though, is what you do and have done for the last few years for people who have this happen and they're freaking out and they don't know what to do and they don't know what step to take. And that's why you put the information in a readable form so that they could grab a hold of this and find out more. And you have a lot of it on the website, too.
I try and have everything that's in the book on the website. That is my goal. It's nice to have it in one place. That's why I'm so excited about it, not so much to sell books or anything. It's just sometimes the internet is so overwhelming. It's so hard and taxing on our brains. It's really nice to have a book in your hands. And this is short and it covers it chapter by chapter in a way that's manageable. That's my hope anyway.
Linda is on the line. Linda, your question or comment?
Hi, I was just calling. This has to do with workplace. A few years ago, I was helping a company move into a building, a lot of water damage. The ceilings were just sagging. There was evidence of mold all over the walls and carpet. I was told just to clean it with vinegar. They did break down the ceilings and put new ceilings up. But anyway, it's in a low area of this town, lots of mold. I felt awful. I was there a few years. I felt awful all the time. Went to several doctors trying to get a handle on what was going on. I have since left. I've been gone a few years. Feel much better. There's still a lady that works there that has all kinds of symptoms of migraines and shortness of breath and respiratory illnesses. And she's been doctoring for probably 2 years now, and they cannot get a handle on why she feels so bad. So I'm just kind of like, okay, how do I convince her? It could be the environment there. And is there any such thing as, you know, you have OSHA, but is there a way you could, you know, have EPA or somebody investigate the building?
Yes, there are possibilities. As yet, there is no federal standard, no real federal acknowledgement that this is an issue. However, if you dig deep in some of the EPA documents, particularly when it comes to school indoor air quality, they have quite a bit on the hazards of toxic mold. So it's there. And the World Health Organization has an excellent document on damp buildings and the impact on health. It is out there. Moms Aware has a compilation of more than 300 studies linking health to some of these issues. Now, as far as what you're dealing with, I'm glad you got away. You're asking a huge question. How do I convince? There is no way to convince. Had my friend tried to convince me at that moment, it would have pushed me away. Your story is enough to invite her to think about this. And that's really enough. I just want to set your mind at ease. You can't take care of this situation. I'm really glad that you're not working in that setting. Just hearing about it is just, I can feel it in my own bones how hazardous that is. And some people tolerate it better. I understand that genetically or just their immune systems are stronger. So I wouldn't try and convince her as much as I would share your story. It's a powerful story.
And keep asking questions. And you can find more information at chrisfabrylive.org. You can see more about Andrea and the website and others there. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. More of your calls straight ahead here on Moody Radio. Toxic Talk Tuesday, Andrea Fabry is back today. For the first time I can say she's the author of Are You Sick of Somebody in Your House? No, that's not the title. It's Is Your House Making You Sick? And here is an email, a person who says, I've been a casual listener to your program for several years.
I hope she didn't take offense to that. See, she's smart and listens.
Listening just often enough to hear some of your Toxic Talk Tuesdays. I know a little of your mold story. 6 months ago, we had to ask our 24-year-old daughter, could your apartment be making you sick? The answer was yes. And we've been so blessed to learn from your blog, your show, and friends here in Peoria, whom you've helped in the past. The path to get our daughter back to health has been daunting, but God has provided knowledgeable people to come alongside us in the journey. So I wanted you to hear that, Andrea. But then the question was, okay, you talk about symptoms. And you want, most people say respiratory. Let me read to you from page 4 and 5 of Is Your House Making You Sick? Every individual responds differently to toxins related to indoor mold growth. In their paper, Mixed Mold Mycotoxicosis, Immunological Changes in Humans Following Exposure in Water-Damaged Buildings, Dr. Jack Thrasher and Dr. Michael Gray list the following symptoms. Are you ready? Excessive fatigue, headache, nasal symptoms, memory problems, spaciness, disorientation, sinus discomfort, coughing, watery eyes, throat discomfort, slurred speech, lightheadedness, dizziness, weakness, bloating, weak voice, coordination problems, vision changes, rashes, chest tightness, wheezing. According to their findings, females had a greater frequency of the following symptoms. So females had more of these than males did. Excessive fatigue, headache, memory problems, spaciness, disorientation, slurred speech, lightheadedness, weak voice, spasms, coordination problems, vision changes, rashes, cold intolerance. What does that mean? Cold.
Intolerant to cold.
Temperature or like eating ice cream?
No.
Okay. Not like a tooth. Okay. Cold intolerance, heat intolerance, chest discomfort, excessive thirst, swallowing problems, skin flushing, rapid pulse, palpitations, bruising, and swollen ankles. It sounds like a big party, doesn't it?
Well, and again, these, just because you might have one issue doesn't mean, oh, there's mold at all. Some of these symptoms show that there is some sort of stress on the immune system that could be environmental. What was interesting about this list, though, that is worthy of noting is that it's not necessarily just respiratory. And that's what we hear. Was, believe it or not, with our 100 and some symptoms, we hardly had any respiratory among all 11 of us. Yeah. And this list for females, I had the slurred speech, the spaciness, the memory problems, the excessive fatigue, the cold intolerance, some of that, the rashes, the vision changes and all that. That was me. But I was quite functional. It was my 9 children who were struggling so much.
And the pets, too.
And they were, too.
Yeah. How about Marilyn in Washington? Marilyn, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Oh, wow, it's exciting. It's like I'm talking to a professor. You remember me, Andrea. I've emailed you a couple of times in the past.
Oh, great, Marilyn.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm still in my house because I'm wanting to get out this year, hopefully. I lost my husband 5 months ago, so it takes time to get out of here. I had recently two different mold testing specialists that came through my home insurance, and one was thermal imaging, and he found no mold, and then I was still feeling sick. Well, the first guy told me you need to get a dehumidifier and, declutter paper, fabric. We went through a heck of a lot with my husband being very sick. He died of cancer, they think. Well, they said it was cancer. But anyways, I since have gotten rid of furniture, fabric. I still have more paper to get rid of. But anyways, the main thing is that, this house is about 100 years old. I cleared everything away from the outside wall, my living room space. My kitchen still, when it rained, right after they came with, the second guy came with mold testing, and it was a different kind of mold testing. I've never seen it. But he actually specializes in mold remediation. And he said the inside of my house is better than the outside, and I didn't have anything. There was nothing.
So your question, Marilyn, let me jump in here. Your question then is, I can't get any of these tests to show up that this is what it is, but I feel like I know what it is, so what do I do now?
And Andrew, you just lost your husband five months ago to cancer, and you don't feel well, and it's an old home, and your gut feeling says something's wrong. This is where I trust you. Rather, you are the expert when it comes to your health, and you are smart to say something's not right here. And it's a 100-year-old home. Who knows what's lurking in terms of pathogens, contaminants? And I always get a red flag when I hear a remediator who tests the home. Those should be two different people, because there's a conflict there. And when someone says, it's just fine in here, it's probably, they're not listening to all the symptoms. So, I don't want to come down too hard on him. I'm trying to tell you, Marilyn, good for you. And thermal imaging, as I mentioned, has limitations. There is no one test, although I would love to see a dust sample of this home, and because that tells the history of the home. The refrigerator coils alone, just the dust there, because it really tends to pull dust in, and that's a good place to get dust to see what you're breathing. Nonetheless, I want to go back to your gut feeling, and I want to say intuitively, you're already moving stuff out and moving stuff around. I mean, even if they don't find anything, you don't feel well in that house. Yeah. And that would be enough for me to say, yeah, well, maybe there's some place that will be better fit for me where I feel better. I just would trust that.
So if you have that, Marilyn, thank you. If you have that feeling and you say we're going to move, then where do you go? Because a lot of times the fright that we had was, well, we're going to find this someplace else. And other people were saying, well, there's no way that you could, lightning can't strike a second time to you. But you start to feel like, well, every place is contaminated, every place I'm going, and you got to fight against that. Which brings us to Indiana and Marla. Hey, Marla, go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, Andrea, I've talked with you in the past, and I've emailed you in the past. My daughter Rachel has Lyme disease, and
yes,
I don't know if you remember, but anyway,
I do.
We live in a house that had mold in our crawl space. We always knew it, and so my gut tells me that she probably had Lyme disease. Her body was able to fight it for years. The mold in the house, pushed her over the edge. We've lived here all her life. And then that's when all, chaos went crazy with her body and her health. My question, I have quite a few here because she is better. We see a Richie Schumacher trained doctor. She does mold treatments. She does Lyme treatments, and she is seeing improvements. We are looking actually to move, and so we've been in this house after it got remediated a couple years ago. You know, we've stayed here. The crazy thing is, you know, like you said, as far as like the dust sample, I mean, we have used Micrometrics, and it's come back fine, and yet we found our dishwasher was leaking recently, and there was mold under the, you know, under the thing. We had to rip up all the kitchen floor. So it's just, to me, nothing is 100% proof, you know, that's anything's
right.
Okay, even the dust sample, which, you know, obviously we know that. So, I don't know. I guess my question is, as far as looking for another house, you know, I mean, like, I've tried to figure this out. I've talked to the doctor that's the Richie Schumacher train guy, as far as what to look for, but, you know, like, I'm just not quite sure. You know, we're going tonight to look at three houses with a realtor. Let's say we find one that we say, okay, it looks okay. You know, do you put it in the contract that you want it, you know, this dust sample, and then I just do it and before we buy the house? I mean, it's just, that's very
overwhelming.
Complicated to me.
Perfect.
Sure.
Okay, Marla, this
perfect
is a
question.
Great question. Yeah. There is, I do have on my website, Moms Aware, and in this book, a post called Guidelines for Buying or Renting a Home. That's not foolproof either. It would be endless. But number one, Marla, go in there and just intuitively listen. How do you feel in this place? What's the lighting like? Does it feel bright? Does it feel dark? Does it smell like anything, or does it smell clean? Before you even get into the details of the health of this home and whether or not there's any type of hidden water damage. I put so much on that. And even after our horrendous experience, it took us more than 6 years to even think about buying a home again. And it just raises up all this pain in me as I even say this. And Chris could spend a whole program talking about how hard that was for him as the provider and, you know, all that happened with us.
Can I jump in here and just say, let's go back a few years. This was in the fall of 08 when someone offered a home for us to stay in Tucson, and we were still living in Colorado. And you called me and you said, I'm so excited because they offered this home and we're going over there, and I've hired a guy to come with a mold dog. Remember that?
Okay, so yes, I do. There's nothing wrong with the mold dog, but I didn't need the mold dog. As soon as I walked in, I knew. But I didn't know. I had no confidence at that time.
Right.
And Marla, let me get back to it. Good point. I'm glad you raised that, because there's nothing wrong with mold inspection of any sort. Good. But when I looked, the home that we're in now, we've been for a year and a half, it took me 5 minutes to walk through this home, and Chris can attest to this. I walked upstairs, I looked around, I sat down, I said, I like it. It feels so clean to me. Mm-hmm. That's very different from when I walked through the home that we ended up buying in the year 2000. I walked in there in the spring of 2000. I left and I knew nothing about environment. I didn't have nearly the knowledge that you have, Marla. Zero. Zip. But I walked through that house. I walked out. I said, I don't ever want to go back there. Something's wrong. I pushed that down because we needed a place to live, and we looked at the potential of the house rather than what it was like. And looking back, it was clear as day. And what I'm telling you is that's where you begin. You walk in there and you know that you have a good, good instinct. Then your knowledge after that will pay off. I wouldn't mind thermal imaging a home. Does it show everything? I think we just heard from our previous caller that it doesn't necessarily show everything. You can thermal image. You can run a small dust sample that tests for those five big molds. I'm sure you're familiar with that, Marla. I don't know that I'd put it in a contract. I might just say I'd like to do this myself, because that's such a worthy investment when you rank that next to a home investment. This is $150, whatever it is, to me is small. That can be peace of mind, the thermal imaging, the dust, overall history of the home. But let me tell you another story. And Chris has a better feel for the sense of smell, let's say this, than I do. And we walked through a home as we were looking in those traumatic days of re-looking to buy. And he walked in, we looked around the house. It had a lot of plug-ins. So already it was done for me, because I don't want to try and get those out. Not that it's impossible. I don't know that that would be a deal breaker necessarily, but plug-ins are very tough. They seep into the wall, and those sorts of chemicals will hang on. Well, if your immune system is struggling, that can be a factor. nonetheless, we left that viewing of the home, and he said, I smelled mold right here. And he pointed to this wall. Well, I didn't smell that at all. We got home. He contacted the realtor and asked for the history of the home. Before we ruled it out, sure enough, there had been a water leak in that very wall. What was it, 5 years before then?
Yeah, it was in the, and there was a weird place to have a leak. It was in the front. It's like, there's no way. And it was like, I'm standing here at the beginning of our tour, and it's I'm sensing this. Something has gone on here. And the other thing that we do is we go to every bathroom, every place where plumbing is exposed, and you pull the top of the tank off of the toilet, you know, the toilet tank, and you look underneath there and you see, because a lot of times mold, if it's in a bathroom, will kind of collect underneath the top of the toilet tank. And you look at that and you just see, is there a lot of discoloration here? Is it just surface stuff or is it clean? We got a lot of calls to get to. We need to take our final break. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio.
Call 877-LIVE-675 to reach Chris Fabry live. That's 877-LIVE-675.
Tomorrow on Chris Fabry Live, the tale of two gyms. Two gyms called our program within an hour of each other, and they had been through such a huge loss. Dr. H. Norman Wright is going to join us tomorrow to talk about two gyms. That's a name that you remember, Andrea, Norm Wright.
Love Norm Wright. He was a Midday Connection guest for many years ago.
He's got a heart for people, and I hope you'll listen. If you know a man who has lost his wife, I want you to listen to tomorrow's program. I hope it'll be encouraging. Today, Andrea is with us. She's written a beginner's guide to toxic mold. Is your house making you sick? Not for everybody, but for those who are going through it like we were. I know you feel like, I wish I had something like this when I was going through this.
It would have helped so much to validate what my gut feeling was and make it readable. That's the other thing. Because there, and I will attest to this, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Hype, isn't it? But fear type. If you don't take care of this, you're going to, you know. This is one factor. We live in a very complex world environmentally. Our dwellings are complicated. I'm not trying to make this simple and everything is about mold. Yeah. There's a healthy balance, and that's important.
What about an air purifier? We've had people calling about questions along those lines, or a box that I can put in that will do this to the house, or, you know, that kind of thing.
And there is nothing wrong in a situation where you are stuck and maybe you've tried to fix this. There's nothing wrong with trying to improve the air quality in your home, and some air purifiers are better than others. I even hesitate to recommend a brand. There are good ones and there are not so good ones. It can help. I won't recommend trying to get the perfect air purifier to fix a toxic mold situation when the mold is still present. That's masking it. It can give a false sense of assurance and isn't getting at the root of the problem. So again, we're talking about balance here, but there's nothing wrong with a good quality air purifier.
So there's so many different levels of this. And Sheila brings one. She's in Lansing, Illinois. Hi, Sheila. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Chris and Andrea. So glad to speak to you both. I saw you in Chicago recently, and I'm so grateful to speak to your lovely wife. Andrea, yes. I was calling Ms. Andrea. Basically, I moved in my home, me and my husband, in 2006, and I had had health issues already, but it wasn't like it is now. I'm a cancer survivor, and I had childhood cancer and then adult cancer, but before I moved to my house, I mean, I was doing well, and, you know, I go to the doctor, I don't have any problems with anything else, but I noticed, like, since 2006, I have, like, headaches and breathing issues at times, and years ago I had asthma, but not like this. So in our garage we had a slight flood, and we do have some mold in the garage. Now, I'm like Windows for idiot when it comes to mold. I don't know too much about mold, but I do know it's like black, and
it can be. It can be green. It can be brown. It can look a whole lot of different ways. But when it's the darker it is, perhaps the longer it's been there, it's that stickier more toxic mold sometimes. Anyway, what is your question? What to do
at this point? Like, I just need to know, like if I need to move or basically, you know, go to the doctor definitely to figure out or get someone to come in. Well, actually, we did have someone came in for our home insurance, and they did tell us we had mold in our house. And, you know, I didn't really take heed to that or anything until I heard your show a while ago, and you kind of had the light bulb go off in my head. So,
you're not alone, okay. Sheila, and we're running out of time here.
First of all, you're on the right track. Your health comes first. I can't emphasize this enough. Your health, when you put your health and the health of your loved ones ahead of everything, that's first and foremost. Where you're living, you can live very simply. You could camp. I'm not telling you to do this. It's just the priority we have to put. And you're so wise to be asking this question. And the options are you can test, you can try leaving to see if you feel better. I promise there are options and there are steps to take, Sheila, but the first one is a good one, and that is to acknowledge this could be an issue for me and my health. Having been where you've been in your life, I respect that you are asking this question.
Here's the corollary to this, and I'm thinking of the town in Michigan that had the water problem.
Flint, Michigan,
and the question of, my child has been sick for a while, and there's a taste to our water that's different, or, you know, we don't... Those kinds of questions, yeah, they will be disruptive, and yet I'm glad that the people in Michigan asked those questions and got to the bottom of, you know, what was going wrong with their water supply. So this is the same type of an issue here, Andrea.
Very good illustration, and so true, yes.
We just kind of scratched the surface here today, but if you want to go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, we got a link to Andrea's site, as well as Is Your House Making You Sick? Featured resource today. Thanks for listening. Chris Faber Live's production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries.